are in Song of Solomon chapter 6. Last week, our couple got into a little fight. You know, the guy goes in, shows up, you know, he's the husband. He's not like claiming his territory here. He walks in, he knocks on the door, and he says this sweet little, you know, hey, my dove, my love, my perfect one, my sister, my spouse. I mean, just imagine this whole romantic scene, right? And she responds with, I've taken a bath. I mean, she just gives it to him, all right? She just lays it out and says, you know what? I'm not into this thing. You just need to walk away. But here's the deal. Then all of a sudden, surprise, surprise, she changes her mind. Now, I know ladies, they never change their mind. They always are steadfast in their thinking. Guys have their own issues. But ladies, we need to remind you, men can't read your mind. We don't even think like you. We don't even, you know... Trust me, we don't think like you, okay? So you have to explain to us. You have to help us out. Well, she changes her mind, then surprise, he's not there because you told him to leave. So now that he's gone, she goes searching for him. She runs into a couple of friends, and they look at her and go, who is your husband that he's so special? She begins to change her heart. Now she's got some girls attacking her husband, so she kind of goes at him a little bit. And she says, let me tell you who my husband is. She starts talking about his character, and all of a sudden, everything begins to change in her heart and in her life as to what she's thinking about her husband because she's explaining him to these gals. And that's where we're going to pick up. Would you pray with me before we go into the Word? Our Father, we do come before you, and we're just grateful. We're grateful we're in a country that we can actually sit in a church and glorify you. We're grateful that we've got a worship band that just took us right to the throne room. Grateful that you've given us friendships and grateful that you created man and woman. And then you created them to enjoy each other. And then you gave us an instruction book on romance right here in Song of Solomon. Lord, I just pray with all the broken relationships that exist that you'd restore and refresh and renew. Lord, kids that are in divorced come out of divorced homes, the statistics, 1 out of 2 marriages, even in the church. Father, we come before you and we ask, would you strengthen your bride to do it right? That we'd follow you faithfully, no longer giving in to our fleshly ways, but we choose to be spiritual. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen means I agree. Amen? Amen? The gentleman, I hear a feminine voice more than I hear the male voice. I don't know what it's been, ladies, over the course of this Bible study. The men have been a little bit shy. If you remember the verse that we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen?
Amen.
The guy that shouted the loudest, his girlfriend just broke up with him. He's a little bitter. Song of Solomon chapter 6, her testimony convinces her friends. And she says this. They say this. Where has your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you? You see, all of a sudden now she's sitting at the city gates and the women that were against her husband have turned for him because of what she has said. She's kind of turned into a Proverbs 31 woman. A Proverbs 31 woman is a righteous woman. Proverbs 31 woman, well, the Bible says when her husband goes through the gates, he's secure because his wife is not sitting there talking about all kinds of bad things about him. She's there lifting him up and encouraging him as his helpmate. Ladies, that's the responsibility of a woman in a marriage, is to come alongside and to edify, to equip, to help. That's the responsibility. And can I tell you something? The beauty of conflict. Remember, they just came out of a fight. The beauty of conflict is that she's changed. The beauty of conflict is that he'll change. And that's what conflict will do for people that are committed. For people that go into a marriage and say, you know what? We don't need to sign a prenuptial because we're going to be together for life. And that's exactly the way that God intended marriage. The Pharisees, they came against Jesus and they started talking about, well, why did Moses give a certificate of divorce? And Jesus says, that's not the way it was from the beginning. God created man and woman, and that a man would leave his house and a woman leave her house and the two of them would become one. How do you shred two that have become one? Just in the same way, if I rip the sheet of paper and try to put it back together, the miracle of only putting it back together would be the blood of Jesus Christ. He's redemption. He's a glue that can fix even that. But my question is, why before marriage give yourself away when the Bible talks so expressly of the danger and the warning of it? Now they find themselves in marriage. They have found that they kept themselves pure, and something is happening spiritual in this woman because they decided to do it right. She is becoming the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, I want to tell you something. Gentlemen, listen to me. You're not going to marry the Proverbs 31 woman. Stop looking for perfection. But she can become the Proverbs 31 woman. And let me tell you something. I'm not asking you to lessen your standard of godliness, but ladies, you're not going to marry the godliest of men. He can become the godliest of men as you both choose to walk in the Word. You see, you're setting the foundations with the godliness that you build in the midst of your premarital relationship, and then you build off of that as you get married, as you be obedient to Scripture. And so here's what the husband does. He washes his wife with the water of the Word. And as he's teaching her the Word, both of them, he's studying, she's learning, both of them are becoming godly, and she'll become the Proverbs 31 woman. And he'll become the incredible guy. It's called discipleship. Did you hear what Jesus said? He looked at the disciples and he said this, "Follow me and I will make you." Make you. So listen, husband, wife, don't give up on your spouse. And if you're listening on the radio, you're on the internet, now is not the time when you've come together in this marriage to say, you know what, I'm done. And if you're not married yet, listen, when you walk into marriage, this is not a matter of you walking in marriage going, listen, in a month or two, if you don't cook an egg right, you and I are done. Let me tell you something. If there's a little too much salt, and let me explain. I had a couple walk in my house, walk in my office, and she said to me, I'm done with this marriage. I go, why are you done with this marriage? Because I am sick and tired of him rolling the toothpaste. Excuse me? She goes, I'm a squeezer. I'm a squeezer. And she's doing like this. She goes, I squeeze it. And I'm like, I'm thinking in my mind, maybe you should end this marriage. It's like, you know, she's like, I'm a squeezer and I just squeeze it. And he likes to roll it. And I'm like, whoa, we got some major issues over toothpaste. But toothpaste wasn't the issue. You see, they had poured a foundation premaritally of rebellion. And that rebellion is now just playing its way out and rolling and squeezing and rolling and squeezing. I'm not kidding. You should have seen her squeeze it. You know, it's like, I get it. But if you're married, now's not the time to give up. Christians don't quit. Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible says we are not those who draw back. We are not those who quit. Because every one of us have something in us that was given to us by God. It's called hope. And no matter how slim it is, there's always hope. Always hope. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you. He's using you to make your spouse the man or the woman that God wants you to be. So listen to what's happened now in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 2. My beloved has gone to his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed his flock in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies. Wait a second, lady. Didn't you go out looking for your husband because you had no idea where he was? And now you're saying, oh, I know where he's at. He's at his garden. Well, let me explain what's happened. You see, because she chose to change, she has moved from emotional to rational because she got spiritual. Let me say it again. She has moved from emotional to rational because she got spiritual. There was a problem with this woman. And let me explain what the problem was. We got to go all the way back to Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. Just flip your page and take a look. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. I'm going to have you underline the first two words. I sleep. I sleep. There's the problem. Jesus told a parable, it's in Matthew chapter 13, and he said, there was a farmer, and he went and he sowed some seeds, and while the servants slept, the enemy came in, and he planted weeds. Spiritual slumber leads to problems. Spiritual slumber leads to problems. Paul, he defines it. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to read it for you. It's Romans chapter 8. Maybe you want to write it down in your notes. Romans chapter 8. Listen to this in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, those who don't practice spirituality, okay? Those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Who wants death? Hallelujah. Who wants life? Who wants peace? Who wants to walk in their home and, you know, the apple pie, you can just smell it down the street. You're coming in and you just walk in and it's kind of like, you come in, it's like June and Ward Cleaver. I don't know that I'm really dating myself here. It's like Beaver Cleaver kind of family. You walk in and there's life and there's peace. Hello, Ward. Hello, June. And a little peck on the lips, and it's just this wonderful experience. But some of our experiences are more. And here's a key word that I think we've all learned in this day and age, dysfunctional. It's because everything is about me. Everything is about how I can be satisfied. Everything is about the way that I want it. That's the way of the flesh. But the way of the Spirit is the way of Jesus, and true love will look like sacrifice. And that will lead to life and to peace. And he says this, for to be carnally minded is death, verse 6, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is an enemy against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh can't please God. Paul makes it really clear. You want to be in a great life and peace relationship? Focus on the Spirit. And ladies, let me tell you something. When he picks you up for that first date and he don't pray for you, say goodnight. Now, remember, I told you don't pray after 11:30. Way, way, way too sensual. We've talked about this. You remember he puts his hand on right there on the center console, and you put your hand on the center console. He's dropping you off, and he looks at you. He's all big and buff and spiritual, and he goes, let's pray. You go, I love to pray. And then you just kind of lean over the console like this, and all of a sudden it's in Jesus' name. The lips just kind of go out by force. I'm talking about at 6 p.m., not 11:30. And you get in the car and he looks at you and he goes, let's pray. Gentlemen, let me tell you what happens to her heart when you say those two romantic words, let's pray. They go like this. Because spiritual is romantic. And couples, have you lost it? Have you lost even the date night? No longer is she getting ready, putting lipstick on, fixing her hair, bought a new outfit, taking her to a movie. I mean, we're on our way. It's just gone. It's just faded. No more date night. No more dates. No more looking forward to. And gentlemen, maybe it's oftentimes if you're in that relationship that you kind of pick it up a little bit, because let me tell you something, loving your wife is spiritual. And then you get in the car, husband. You open the door, shut the door. You get in and you look around and you put your hand on the center console and you say, let's pray. And let me tell you something about being married. You can pray at 11:30. And it don't matter if the lips come out. So glad I'm married. I can pray all day. So Jesus, through the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, he says this, if you're in a spiritual slumber, wake you who sleep. Let Christ give you light. Because spiritual slumber causes problems. That's what happened with our woman. You see, if I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, there's three words that kind of define this discipleship experience. The first word is, I'm devoted. That means I'm passionate about my relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't get married and all of a sudden Jesus is out the window. No, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And it's a husband and a wife and Jesus Christ. And I'm more in love with Jesus even than I'm in love with you because you're my sister and my spouse, not my spouse and my sister. First, I recognize you belong to God. And then I recognize you belong to me. And my responsibility is not to go into a spiritual slumber when I'm married? No, it's to increase and to grow in faith. Look at Priscilla and Aquila. This incredible, power-packed couple for the gospel. They're discipling Apollos. They're planting churches. They're going from place to place. And theologians say they were very, very wealthy because you couldn't travel back then. But they're traveling from here to there to everywhere and using their money for the sake of the gospel together. They refused to be anything else but devoted to Jesus. To be a disciple, you gotta be diligent. You can't wake up one morning and say, I'm not gonna do my devotions. I'm mad at my husband. It's not Jesus' fault, it's his. You can't wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm not gonna pray today. I'm gonna be mean. I'm gonna be mean all day. And what is this? I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, except an excuse to live however you wanna live. You see, being diligent about being a disciple is purposing when I don't feel like it to engage with Jesus. Third D letter word, listen, I'm dedicated. I'm dedicated to this thing. And no matter what comes, I am more dedicated to Jesus. And even in the midst of this problem, I'm dedicated to Jesus. And we're going to resolve this thing. And that's where this couple is headed. They are headed to resolution because she got back on track. Because she got spiritual. And when you're seeing things spiritually, you start seeing things clearly. Clearly. It amazes me. Amazes me the way the world thinks. I had my roommate in college. Back then, we didn't have iPhones. We had little black books. I didn't have one, okay? But my friend, he had a little black book. And he had multiple women. And I looked at him and I said, dude, pick one. I mean, let's start there. And he looked at me and he goes, are you crazy? He goes, 10, 15, 20, that's where happiness is found. And I looked at him and I go, dude, one is hard enough. How are you handling 10 and 15 and 20? And he looked at me and he goes, you're just dumb. And he walked away. Don't even think the same way. Don't even understand the same understanding. Listen, there's a truth about spirituality. You begin to think and see things more clearly. And this woman, she goes, I know where he's at. He's at his garden. I was all emotional, but now I'm spiritual. I'm sober-minded, and I'm able to think clearly. And the problem in the midst of argument is we don't think clearly, we think emotionally. And that's why I'm encouraging us, stay spiritual so you can stay sober-minded. How many, and I want you to raise your hand, how many of you have done something you regret when you were angry? Raise your hand. You know why? I'm going to sing you a song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a bunch of wretch like you people. No, I want you to clap, bunch of wretches. Listen. We all have made those mistakes when we're emotional. Why do we keep making them? Why not stay spiritual so that we can be sober-minded and not make those mistakes? Now, I want you to see what else he says. To the bed of spices to feed his flock in the gardens. Oh, something's happening in her. She's starting to remember where they first fell in love. It amazes me that when couples get into arguments, even relationships, even friends, they're willing to end a relationship over an event. They've been friends for 10, 15, 20 years, and an event happens, and they end the relationship. Paul was dealing with the same problem in Philippians chapter 4. And instead of thinking of the long-time relationship that Yodia and Syntyche had, Paul takes the entire book to get to a point in Philippians 4, and he says, could you please talk to these two ladies that are in a catfight and help them remember all the things we've done together in the Lord? Don't end a relationship on an event. She remembers the relationship. She goes, I'm not going to determine who he is based on something that happened. No, I'm going to remember who he is because of our longevity of relationship and who he's already defined himself to be. And take a look what he's doing. He's gone to go feed his flock in the garden. She's saying he's got character. He knows his responsibilities. And even though we're in the midst of an argument, he's still taking care of them. That's my man. Love this guy, huh? Ladies are like, where is he? I'd like to marry him. This lady, now that she's spiritual, she comes into the garden. Take a look at what her man is doing. He's gathering lilies. It blows my mind why women like dead things. No, seriously, it blows my mind. It's a dying thing. It looks pretty just for a matter of 2 days. And we spend $10, $20, $30 to buy something dead and give it to you, and you go, oh, I love it. A dead thing. It blows my mind. But there's something about flowers that ladies love. All the way back to the Bible. I think giving flowers are biblical. And here's this guy, he's gathering lilies, and she comes in on the scene, and she goes, oh my goodness, he's getting flowers. For me, something happens in her heart where she says, I'm my beloved and my beloved is mine. And she rushes in on the scene. Our guy, he's incredible. Now, I've told you before, Solomon, he makes the guy the hero because he's writing the story. But ladies, this could be you. If a woman wrote this, if Esther wrote this, it'd be a whole different story. She'd be the heroine. But because Solomon wrote it, he's making himself the hero in a sense, but this has a greater meaning because he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's talking and relating himself without even knowing it to Jesus Christ. Take a look what our guy's doing. She comes into the garden, and this guy's not run away from her. He's just given some time to let her cool down, to calm down, to get himself collected. And there in verse 4, look what he says. Oh, my love, you're as beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. They find each other in this garden, and he becomes just like God. You see, in Psalm chapter 86, verse 5, the Bible says that God is ready to forgive. Now, let me help you understand this word ready. Have you ever seen a horse race? I know none of you gamble, so if you say yes, I won't assume anything. So, if you ever seen a horse race, and Christians don't gamble. So, have you ever seen a horse race, nor do you play the lottery? If you've ever seen a horse race, here's what happens. That horse is not behind the stage going, behind the gate going, well, when they open the gate, I guess I'll start running. No, that horse is like they're just ready to get out of that gate. And as soon as that gate opens, that horse, boom, is gone. Gone. Going about 60 miles an hour in just a matter of moments. That's God behind the gate. Just repent. Just repent. My son died for you. I've done everything. I've set it up. Just repent. And as soon as we say, I'm sorry, boom, out the gate, I'm here. Let's hug, you and I, we're together. Ready to forgive. And our guy, I love this guy. He looks at her and he goes, oh, my love. Because love covers a multitude of sins. I want you to see something. She hasn't said a word to him. She hasn't said sorry. She hasn't said, I can't believe what I did. He just turns. He's got flowers in his hands. And he goes, my love. That's real love. Love covers a multitude. It doesn't hold on to grudges. But I want you to see, you're beautiful. I'm taking a bath. Remember what just happened. And he looks at her and he chooses not to think about the negative. He chooses not to focus on the problem. And he chooses to find something in her that's positive. And she says, you're as beautiful as Tirzah, as beautiful as Jerusalem. And let me explain what he's saying. He goes, Tirzah, that's not in like the holy place of Jerusalem. It's outside, it's a few, several miles away. And he's saying, you're beautiful on the outside, but you're like Jerusalem. You're beautiful on the inside. Man, you are beautiful. Listen to this guy. He says, I'm in love with you. I'm a cover over a multitude of sins. You're beautiful on the inside and out. I'm not going to focus on the problem. And take a look what he does. Turn your eyes away from me, for they've overcome me. This guy is so in love with this woman. He's ravished by her. Because she came to him. She's decided to change. He's overcome with her love. Look what he says. Your hair's like a flock of goats going down from Gilead. Once again, not the most romantic thing in this day and age, okay? And basically what's happening is he takes her hair out of the bun and it falls down. Just like goats coming down off a mountain. And for some reason, she thought that was a wonderful thing for her to say. We were talking about pickup lines in the back. And I don't know if I would look at a girl this day and go, wow, your hair looks like goats. You know, and I forget what one of the guys said, but I had one, and you're going to go, Chet, really? You know, that one where you go, hey, babe, you tired? No, I'm not tired. He goes, you should be. You've been running around in my mind all day long. The guys are like, really? Listen, some of the girls are like, so sweet. He says, look, your hair's like goats. Now take a look. Your teeth, like a flock of sheep. I love it. Which have come up from the washing. And the thing is she likes this. Then she goes, everyone bears twins and none is barren among them. In other words, we talked about this before. You got all your teeth. Like a piece of pomegranate are your temples behind your veil. At this time and age, a pomegranate was considered like an aphrodisiac. And so we've got some romantic words being shared between this couple. No words of I'm sorry. No words of I can't believe what I did. No, he goes straight into romance and he says, there are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number, but my dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother, the favorite of the one who bore her. The daughter saw her and called her blessed, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Wait a second. You're talking to the girl that just said to you, I don't want to get out of bed. Just took a bath. And now you're telling her, you're the only woman for me. You're the best woman in the whole wide world. You're mine. Because he's not looking at who she was. He's looking at who she's becoming. And so oftentimes we get stuck in what they've done. We get stuck and we start saying things like, you'll never, you always. Those words are D words. They're deadly words. That's what our couple, he chooses not to do. Can I tell you something? Jesus ain't mad at you. See, Solomon was writing, but he didn't realize he was writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This story, Jesus don't care what you've done. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally, just like this guy. Jesus, he ain't going, I'm going to keep a record of wrongs. No, he died so that when you did wrong, you could come to him. And he looks at you and he goes, you're beautiful. Me, look at me. I'm a sinner. He goes, but wait till you see what I'm going to make you. You are beautiful. Everything becomes beautiful in its time, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. Wait till you see what I am going to do with you. I'm so in love with you. I'm ravished by you. So ravished, so in love with you. I died on a cross so that when you messed up, you would know how much I love you. You see this guy? To me, he looks just like Jesus. Song of Solomon, look at verse 10. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? See, they choose to do something. They choose to walk in the light. And he's shining a light on the situation now that he's expressed his love. And he says, okay, let's look at this. That's what Jesus does. You see, Jesus loves you too much to leave you where you're at. And so he shines a little bit of light on the situation. He says, okay, we got to look at this. And I got to ask some questions. Okay, what went wrong? And they're discussing what went wrong. So I want you to write down these three things because I think there's some three things that we need to learn about solving conflict. And sometimes we've got to ask some questions, sometimes we've got to be, but listen, I call it AAA because, listen, when you're on the road and you're in a problem, you call AAA. And so you call AAA and they come and rescue you from the problem. And I think these three things, they can rescue you from a problem. And they're easy to remember. If you're taking note, number one, agree quickly. Agree quickly. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. Agree quickly. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he says this. He goes, if you're in a problem with your adversary, go to him quickly. Don't let the sun go down, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. So the first letter A, agree quickly. Second letter A, listen, accept unconditionally. You married her. You married him. And accepting unconditionally means I'm not going to put conditions on my love for you. I'm going to choose to always pour out my love for you. And even when we do wrong, I'm going to choose to forgive in the same way that God forgave me through Christ Jesus. Listen, we've got to choose to accept each other unconditionally. Third letter A, you can write it down. Acknowledge diversity. She is different. He is different. My wife and I, when we were in Africa, she was pregnant and we had to travel out of the country because they were in the middle of a war. And the hospitals, well, her pediatrician, when she walked into the doctor's office, he smoked about 6 cigarettes. And she came home and she's like, Chet, I am not delivering here in Liberia. So we had to get in a car and we had to travel through, because she was too pregnant to get on a plane, travel through one country, get to another country. And I'm talking like jungle Africa. So my wife, she decided to put together a pregnancy kit, a birthing kit. So she's putting all the little scissors and gauze pads and cloths and wrapping it up in this box, trying to make it as sterile as possible. I look at her and go, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm putting a little birthing box together. Now, why would you be doing that? She goes, oh, just in case I give birth on the road. I'm like, Andrea, you are not Mother Mary. We're not going to go to an inn and do the whole deal in a stable, okay? I am not helping give birth to this child. She goes, oh, yes, you will. Thus, Chet, the birthing box. Now, let me tell you something. Everywhere we go, we travel with a... Some of you want me to say birthing box. No. She always packs a little first aid kit, and I always get upset. We don't need the first aid kit. How many? Are you going to carry it? I'm tired of carrying all these bags. We don't need the... Until... Mom! Where's the first aid kit? I'm the first one to ask for it. Thank God she thinks of the first aid kit. And we've got to learn to celebrate diversity instead of allow it to bring division. Thank God Andrea thinks differently than I do. Be a sad world if people thought like I did. You only get to experience me on Monday night. I have to live with this brain all week. Pray for me. So, Our Lady, I went down to the Garden of Nuts. Don't let your mind go anywhere. The word is nutmeg, okay? I went down to the Garden of Nuts to see the verdure of the valley, to see whether the vine had budded and the pomegranates had bloomed. Before I was even aware, my soul had made me as the chariots of my noble people. You see, now she's kind of rethinking. Now she's reviewing, and let me tell you what she's saying. I knew where you would be, so I came to the garden where I knew you would be, this garden of spices. And when I came there, I saw you there. And you know why I came? I had to, and I had to do it quickly because I know I was wrong. Let me tell you what kills every relationship. Pride. When you go into an argument with, I am right. When you go into an argument with, you are wrong. When you go into an argument with, you need me to set you straight. When you go into an argument thinking that you've done nothing wrong, pride will destroy you. But now the friends have turned. Now the friends have realized that this relationship's a godly relationship. And they respond and say, as they watch this whole thing happen, to the woman, return. Return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon you. See this word, return? It's repent. And the friends are giving her now good advice and saying, let me tell you the best thing you can do. Humble yourself in repentance and watch restoration. Now, I don't care if you have a married relationship or a friendship, the humility of repentance will always restore. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. And the beauty of marriage? Take a look, little sneak peek. What would you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the dance of two camps. Our couple unites in intimacy. Best part about resolving conflict when you're married. Some of you are like, do I laugh? Do I not laugh? We're like, what? Did you hear the last part? When you're married. So many problems you can avoid. Choosing to do it God's way. And all the married couples said, amen. Let's pray. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we do come before you tonight so thankful that your word inspires us. Now I pray, would you speak in this room right now and your spirit move? Jesus' name, amen.